Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. And today, friends, we're going to take a look at humanism that has corrupted the world that we live in. And we're going to define it as best as we can and relate it to Christianity, because humanism is related to the Christian Western world. That's where it came from. Didn't come from the Buddhists, didn't come from the Hindus, didn't come from the Muslims. It came out of Europe. That's right, Germany, England, Scotland, America. This is the source of secular humanism or existentialism or atheism, agnosticism. All of this came from Christianity. It's a spinoff of Christianity is what it is. So, friends, we're going to talk a little bit about that on this edition of the program. But first, here is an interesting story. And by the way, Dave Buhner also in studio with me today to comment on some of these interesting things going on around us. A study was done on by psychologists at the University of British Columbia and the University of Oregon. And they looked at whether people trust atheists or rapists more. And as it turns out, atheists are more distrusted. This is USA Today. It's pretty remarkable, said Azim Sharif, an assistant professor of psychology at the University of Oregon, co-author of the study, which appears in the current issue of Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. Study conducted among 350 American adults, 420 Canadian college students, asked participants to decide if a fictional driver damaged a parked car, left the scene, then found a wallet, took the money. Was the driver more likely to be a teacher, an atheist teacher, or a rapist teacher? And as it turns out, and I think the guys that did the study were kind of disappointed about the results of the study. Turns out people do not trust atheists. I mean, they would much rather trust a rapist than they would an atheist. People find atheists very suspect, Sharif said. They don't fear God, so we should distrust them. They do not have the same moral obligations of others. This is a common refrain against atheists. People fear them as a group. Now, Dave, I would agree, actually, that a guy doesn't fear God, probably shouldn't trust him. Why? Because there is no absolute transcendent ethic above everything that governs all of us and what we do. So what happens, friends, in a humanist universe is that man becomes his own source of ethics, and man sort of makes it up as he goes. I was downtown at 16th Street Mall talking to people about this, Dave, and one particular guy admitted that there's nothing really wrong with raping a two-year-old. That to me is one of the most egregious things that could be done. And this guy doesn't find there to be a problem with that. And I mean, he was a consistent humanist. He was a materialist to the core. We are a product of a Big Bang. That's it, man. There is no God, and we are in a materialistic universe, and there's nothing but materials. Therefore, there can be no transcendent ethics. This guy admitted to that. Now, the atheists today are much more self-consistent than they used to be. That is, they're shaking off as much of the Christian remnants as they possibly can. So you have more and more dangerous atheists as you go, as you get more and more away from a biblical Christian ethic that at one time dominated the Western countries like Europe and America. And as we get further and further away from this, which is what is happening in the modern day apostasy, which has really got its start through the Renaissance and then the Enlightenment and through the 1800s, largely under the influence of great writers and the great cultural minds of the 18th century and the 19th century, friends, we have gotten very, very, very far away from a Christian way of looking at ethics and, of course, metaphysics as well. And these things are interrelated. And so occasionally you're going to find a self-consistent guy down on the street who says, there's nothing wrong with raping kids. And Dave, I said, well, I'm keeping mine away from you. I told him that. You know, you're a dangerous man. I'm keeping my kids away from you. I told him that. And we got into a little more conversation on how, you know, he couldn't really have any way of knowing whether what he was saying was right anyway, if he was just nothing but cosmic dust. If his brain was nothing but a material process, chemical processes working in a totally random universe, why should I trust a chemical process to tell me the right thing about truth and ethics in a totally materialistic world where there can be no such thing as truth or ethics? And then I got him to admit, finally, there's no purpose for life. There's no real purpose for this conversation. There's no purpose for him to be saying anything at all. I'm not sure if he got that far down the pike, but after a while, he just sort of walked away because he realized that if he got too self-consistent with what he was saying, he couldn't even have a conversation with me and claim any truth at all. But it is interesting, Dave, in this study that the majority of people are still saying that atheists are dangerous people. That's interesting. I think that's interesting because people still don't want their kids raped and they don't want anybody to steal their wallet and their car stereo. And they understand. I think deep down, everybody understands that if there's a God who forbids that kind of thing, then we're all on pretty good safe ground. I think people still have that in the real back of their minds. They know that if there's no God, forget it. All bets are off. No possibility for ethics. And your car stereo is not going to be safe in a world like that.
I think it's especially true by those who identify themselves as atheists. It's politically correct now to identify yourself as agnostic. I don't know. I don't think about it. I don't care. But atheists have, by and large, been seen as the cultural warriors against the traditional American culture. So they see them as tearing down their institutions, tearing down our history, trying to obliterate things. So those who identify themselves as atheists are not neutral at all. According to those who live in this American land, they're seen as those who attack, kind of like Mikey Weinstein. He's in the news constantly in Colorado because he is a former Air Force officer who goes down to the Air Force Academy and tries to expunge every expression of Christianity possible.
Still doing that. I'm seeing articles on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, constantly. So we say, well, what do we say about Mikey Weinstein? Well, we say he's an atheist who doesn't like Christmas presents or Christmas trees or Christmas carols or Christmas worship. So Mikey seems to be against the things that we hold as American traditions. So those who identify themselves as atheists have already thrown themselves into a pot of people who are enemies of the state. So when you say an atheist teacher, that's the kind of person who's going to scratch my car.
Yeah. And yet, Dave, as you know, there's a trend towards more agnosticism and more atheism. And I'd say 30 to 40% of the people we talk to randomly down the 16th Street Mall in Denver are going to be people who are not absolutely convinced there's a God. And if there is a God, he certainly doesn't have the right to tell me what to do. He doesn't have the right to give me law, and he's not going to define my truth, and he's not going to define my reality and be sovereign over my world. That is, this God is not going to be God over my reality, my ethics, my truth, which means that he died the death of 1,000 qualifications. Okay, so that's a modern humanist man. He won't call himself an atheist, but he's a practical atheist.
Yes.
He's practically an atheist.
At the very best, he's a deist.
Maybe a deist.
He doesn't think that God really cares about ethics or about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. God just wound up a universe. We have to succeed and live in it. And so there's some sense of morality, but really no consistency as to the foundation.
In other words, he was God for a while. He might have been God for like 5 seconds when he got the whole thing cranked up. And then after that, he says, I'm going to resign. So God resigned. That's what a deist believes. The deists believe that God resigns as the sovereign because, by definition, God is the sovereign over reality, truth, and ethics. And what deists say is God resigned from that position. So God is no longer God. So the deist says God is no longer God. He resigned from the position of godhood at the very, very beginning, and now you get to be God, and you come up with your own truth, your own ethics, and you're going to define your own reality. That's what the modern humanist thinks. And that's the average American. That may be 85, 90, 95, 98% of Americans. It's a lot. It's a lot of people in the West. They don't believe that God is the total sovereign. And they do everything they can to undermine the sovereignty of God in reality, truth, and ethics. Okay, that's where America's been going for the last 200 to 300 years.
But, Kevin, this has been happening since the beginning of humanity. Well, it happened all the way in the garden with the expression, the original humanism expression, which is you can be as gods. There's a whole religion called Mormonism where you become a god. Humanism is really the expression of you can be as God, deciding ethics, to be sure, deciding beauty, deciding technology and advancement. You start worshiping the things of man and not the things of God. That's what the humanities do. The humanities say, look at the wonderful literature that we produced to us, human race. Look and worship at this literature.
Dave, we define our own reality. We define our own ethics as humanists. And here's another incredibly important example of that. Comes from the UK Daily Telegraph. Again, reporting on what's going on in the Netherlands. Apparently now mobile medical teams that can euthanize people in their own homes are being considered by the Dutch government. So it's kind of like you heard of home health. This is home euthanasia.
So this is like Hell's Angels will come to your house and kill you?
To come to your house, put a bullet through your head, and be done with it, I guess. The proposals were disclosed by Edith Schippers, the health minister, in a written answer to questions from Christian Union MPs. You know, the Christian MPs, the Christian legislators, you know, those wonderful Christian Union MPs, you know, go Abraham Kuyper, you know, let's make an impact for Jesus Christ as good Christians in Holland. Okay, the Christians are still busy in Holland doing what Christians do well, apostatizing. That's what they're doing in the Netherlands. The good Christian MPs are considering. The good Christian Union MPs, the irony there is too much for me. She said that the mobile units for patients who meet the criteria for euthanasia, but whose doctors are unwilling to carry it out, was worthy of consideration. A total of 21 people diagnosed with early stage dementia died with the help of their doctors last year, according to the 2010 report on euthanasia. Okay, so that's 21 people on Alzheimer's. You got a little Alzheimer's there. Early stages. I mean, you know, you forgot where the keys were. You know,
I did that this morning.
You did that this morning. You locked yourself out of your house this morning.
I did.
Hey, the euthanasia mobile will be there shortly. If you were in the Netherlands, you'd be done for, man. But, early stages of dementia.
But Kevin, and 21 people
killed in the Netherlands.
This would eventually happen. And so we had hidden a house key outside of the premise only we would know.
In case you come down with dementia, but I had the keys.
I had to call my wife and ask her,
where do we put
that extra key?
Exactly.
I couldn't remember. I remembered that we thought about the process.
That's scary. Dave has early stages of dementia, friends. Forgot where his keys were and then forgot where he put the extra key. And in the Netherlands, you would have been dead. 21 people killed last year for early stages of dementia in the Netherlands. The Christian Netherlands, shall we add. Okay, because the Christian MPs are going to work these things out. The Christian MPs. Okay, does everybody understand what's going on? Does everybody understand where we're going with this? The Christian MPs, okay, this is the Christian world. The Christian world is euthanizing. The Christian world is apostatizing. That's where Netherlands went. There may be a few Christians left in Holland. I don't think I've ever gotten a note from a Christian in Holland. I don't know how many Christians listen to this show in Holland, but I don't think there are many Christians left in the nation of the Netherlands. We are 500 years away from the Reformation, friends, and the Reformation is more or less dead. And where there are Reformed churches, very few of them will go to the Word of God for their ethics because they tend not to like theonomy. And for that reason, the Reformed people are largely irrelevant to the discussions of what's happening in the modern apostasy. They're being part of it because they're not going to use the Word of God, the law of God, as the way in which we're going to dictate the future ethical decisions that will happen in the state, in the schools, and the way we do education, economics, etc. Well, friends, where there will be two true Christians in the year 2040, they will use the Word of God to determine their ethics. And the reason why you have so many people killing people and euthanizing people in the Netherlands is because all those who hate me love death. That's what the Word of God says. I believe that's Christ saying that in the book of Proverbs. All those who hate me love death. These people love death. Oh, they're just infatuated with death. They love death. The ungodly humanists from Holland are killing themselves off. And by the way, birth imploding their population as well as just about everybody else in the Western Christian world. And that's what happens when the West apostatizes. They kill off their own. They kill off their kids with abortion. They kill off their elderly. And they reduce their birth rate to 1.2 and 0.7 and 0.4 and so forth until there aren't any of them left. And they kill themselves off. This is what you do when you walk away from the Christian faith. You kill yourselves off. And that's what the Christian humanists are doing. I'm sorry, the Christian apostates, the humanists are doing in the present day. And there are Christians, though, that will survive. There will be some Christian sects that will survive. And they will be the ones who continue to acknowledge God as a source of reality, truth, and ethics. Be back in just a moment.
Are you tired of running the corporate rat race? Are you struggling to make healthcare choices? Are you looking for a better job? Maybe even a job that your entire family can be involved in? Do you want to take your family to the next level? The 2012 Family Economics Conference is designed to help family with the vision and resources to make practical steps to build their family's economy. From practical household budgeting and finance to starting your own business, to making wise decisions about college and career preparation, the Family Economics Conference has something for everyone. There will even be a special Proverbs 31 track for the ladies' role in the family economy. For more information, or to sign up online, go to www.familyeconomics2012.com. That's familyeconomics2012.com.
And And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. Homeschool father of five. Still hanging on to some semblance of family, faith, and freedom. And trying to restore these, I think, biblically true concepts in the 21st century. We're losing freedoms. We're losing family. We're losing faith. And Dave, as you know, these things are related to faith. Where we have no faith, we're going to break down. Where the Christian faith disappears, of course you're not going to have economic freedoms, political freedoms, the sorts of things that we have enjoyed in the Western world. Where the Christian faith breaks down, we're going to see euthanasia. We're going to see infanticide. We're going to see cannibalism. We're going to see things that pagans like to do. And that's what we're seeing today. We're seeing lots and lots of infanticide, lots and lots and lots of abortion. And as we've said before, the day after pill is taking off. There is, I think, way more abortions right now than we saw 10, 15 years ago. And I know that clinical abortions are down, but that's because they're finding ways to chemically abort. And they've even got this new patch out, Dave. I don't know if you know about this patch, but it's another, I believe, abortifacient. A way in which the female system will break down, and it can prevent the ovulation, but it can also prevent that little fetus attaching itself to the uterine wall.
Well, what's very clear is that there is an attack on life and life in general.
Yeah,
we don't want children, or at least not very many.
Yeah. Euthanasia on the one end and abortion on the other end. If we've aborted 80 million of our babies since 1960, which is my best numbers for this country, of course we're going to see. I don't know if all 80 million baby boomers will be aborted. I'm sure there's a few Christians left. Most certainly my parents aren't going to be euthanized. I'm hoping that many, many Christian families will preserve their parents and will not euthanize their parents. But out of the 80 million, I would not be surprised if 50 million or 60 million were euthanized by the year 2020, 2025. Would not be surprised, especially if they start getting dementia.
Right, right. I think that we will see various kinds of euthanasia. Some of it will be official. Some of it will be just kind of with a wink and a nod. The hospitals and will help kind of push them over.
Sure.
Just a little too much of this drug or a little too much of that drug, and they can assign the cause of death. And depending on the condition, we'll see some people with dementia who are physically healthy being euthanized earlier, and we'll see expensive people being euthanized, and we'll see those on Obamacare who ran out of health insurance being euthanized. But by and large, when they become old, unproductive, and we no longer honor them, we just tell jokes about how backward they are and how foolish they are and how funny they look, we're going to see them being killed off en masse.
Half of Belgium nurses are admitting to administering toxic drugs without the patient's knowledge or consent. That's half of Belgium nurses. I mean, friends, it's happening in Europe. We're just maybe 5-10 years behind here in America. But I think we have way more potential to do way more damage here in this country because of the seeds that we've sown over the last 40, 50 years. So until we get a better respect for human life and a respect for children, until we walk into churches and begin to see the birth rate somewhere between 4.5 and 6.0, until we begin to see Christian pastors and Christian churches standing up and say, life is precious, life is a blessing, we want to encourage you parents to have children and to raise them in the fear and the nurture of the Lord and stop being such selfish, materialistic, existentialistic pigs and using that birth control to limit the number of kids you have because you want another boat and you want another 2,000-3,000 square feet in your home. Until you get rid of that, friends, you need to repent. You need to get back to a biblical way of valuing the things that God values and embracing the blessings that God gives. Unless we have churches doing that kind of thing, Dave, the churches are going to be right there supporting the infanticide and the euthanasia. That's what's going to happen. Happen in the Netherlands. It's going to happen here in America, too. I mean, it's just the way it goes until somebody gets out there and starts drawing lines and saying, we're going to start using biblical law to preach against the materialistic ethical systems we're seeing around us today. Here's an article from Walter Williams about this population control nonsense. Walter Williams does a lot of good stuff. I mean, he's an African-American economist from one of the conservative Grove City College, I think it is. He says there's absolutely no relationship between high populations, disaster, and poverty. Population control advocates might consider the Democratic Republic of Congo's meager 75 people per square mile to be ideal, while Hong Kong, 6,500 people per square mile is problematic. Yet Hong Kong citizens enjoy a per capita income of $43,000, while the Democratic Republic of Congo, one of the world's poorest countries, has a per capita income of $300.
It's no anomaly. Some of the world's poorest countries have the lowest population densities. Dave, what we're saying is those who hate God, those who hate Jesus, those who hate wisdom, love death, and they're also ignorant. They're incredibly irrational, and they will break down their economies at the same time they break down their respect for human life. And they engage all of this pro-birth control, pro-abortion rhetoric, which has been foisted not just upon us, but most of Asia, and now seeping into Africa and other places as well, including the Democratic Republic of Congo, is my guess. So they get their ideology in some of these other areas. They're not gonna fix the problem, friends. They will not fix the problem. Planet Earth is loaded with room, he says. If the entire world's population moved to Texas, California, Colorado, and Pennsylvania, every family of four would enjoy a bit over 2 acres of land. And that's just cramming everybody into four states. What are called overpopulation problems result from socialistic government practices that reduce the capacity of people to educate, clothe, house, and feed themselves. Underdeveloped nations are rife with farm controls, export and import restrictions, restrictive licensing, price controls, plus gross human rights violations that encourage their most productive people to emigrate and stifle the productivity of those who remain. Okay, this is Walter Williams. He's dead right on those issues, as far as I'm concerned. The liberals, those who espouse the liberal approach to population, and by the way, are undermining the birth rates of the whites and now the Hispanics and the blacks as well, are going to corrupt these nations, and they're already corrupting the nations, friends. Here's another story, by the way, and we're looking at a lot of the different fruits of the Western Christian apostasy. We saw it in the form of euthanasia in Holland. We're seeing it in form of the breakdown of marriage now. Here's an excellent example of that. A story from, I believe this is PewSocial.com. PewSocial.com says Pew Research, barely half of U.S. adults are married. It's a record low. New marriages, get this, down 5% in 1 year from 2009 to 2010. So people aren't getting married anymore. They're not having kids. They're not interested in having kids. They're using a new patch form of birth control, which, by the way, has a blood clotting problem as well. So it's going to have a lot of medical issues associated with it. You start breaking down God's systems and bring a humanist system that violates God's ethical requirements, and you're going to have problems. You're going to be cursed in the way you use these things. And Dave, here's another example of how family is breaking down. You have 51% of Americans right now married, 51% of American adults married. And that's down from something like 83% in 1960. I mean, we're talking about falling off the cliff in just one generation. Friends.
And Kevin, later down in this story, there's a nice little diagram that shows the median age of a first marriage. In 1960, men were getting married at 22.8 before their 23rd birthday. Yeah. On average, women on their 20th birthday. Now it is 28 and 26 and a half. What's happened? Why 6 more years?
Why get married? You know what people are saying. We can have sex outside of marriage. We take the pill. We have the patch. We can kill as many kids as we want. We have the freedom, quote unquote, to do this kind of thing. Why get married? And these young men aren't getting matured. They don't have jobs. They're not graduating from college with a vision for life. They're not getting jobs out of college. The women are 2-3 times more likely to have college degrees, get jobs, et cetera, et cetera. There's no character in our young men. So, of course, they're not going to be married. We're not raising them to be married. They're playing the games while Rome burns. I mean, this is what's going on around us, friends. Barely half of U.S. adults are married. It's a record low. It's fallen off 5% in just 1 year. New marriages off 5% in 1 year. That's terrible. That's terrible. And here, Dave, you just read another sidebar there. The millennials prefer parenting to marriage. In other words, the millennials, the majority of millennials want parenting over marriage. In other words, who needs a marriage to have a kid? If we want to have a kid, we're going to have a kid and we're going to have them out of wedlock. And that's the majority. So right now, we have a 41% of American kids born without fathers. It's going to be 51%, 55%, 56%, 60%, 62% with the millennials in the next 15 to 20 years. Friends, I mean, this is the end of a social system. And the humanists are the ones that are putting the gun to the head and blowing the brains out of our present social system. And I'm still believing that the family is the basic building block. Marriage is the basic building block of family, and the family is the basic building block of social systems, and you get rid of that, sans Marx and everybody else who said it doesn't matter who needs family, I believe we are going to see the breakdown of civilization in the next 20, 30, 40 years. We're going to see it in Europe, in America, and Canada. There may be a few nations in which the family will be salvaged, and it'll probably be in pagan nations, Islam nations, etc., but not in the Christian apostate nations.
Kevin, the trend is alarming. The Gen Xers, so those who are born prior to 1997, 42% of them said one of the most important things in their life is being a good parent. 35% said a good marriage. So it's 42 and 35 in the Gen Xers. Go to the millennials. So these are people who are a little younger, been in the public schools a little more.
Yeah, it's a generational trajectory.
So instead of 42% saying being a good parent, 52%. So they like parenting more. I guess we should appreciate that. But marriage went from 35% to 30%.
Yeah, dropped
so
off
less,
even more.
Less
even
than more. A third of right. them saying one of the most important things in their life is having a good marriage.
Yep. The generational trajectory, friends, is going down, down, down. We're setting on the macro scale a generational trajectory that will destroy the family, will introduce euthanasia, and humanism will see its rotten fruit in the next 20, 30 years. But God's people will come out from among them and be separate. God's people will do things differently. God's people will take the word of God and they will begin to apply God's word to having families and not using birth control and eventually having a wonderful, wonderful opportunities to raise these children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, not by turning them over to socialist schools to get a humanist ideology that's going to corrupt the next generation. No, 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 no. No, we've got a different worldview operating here. We're going to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. We will be separate from what is going on around us and in the process because we are willing to be separate. We're not going to amalgamate. We're not going to synthesize into the system around us because we are willing to be separate. We will salvage a people. We'll salvage the faith, family, and hopefully freedoms as well in the years to come. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the vision. My encouragement is that you get some of our resources. I encourage you to grab a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, which it presents the agenda, what we're all about, what we're trying to do in the next 20, 30, 40 years. We've got to have some vision. Without a vision, the people will perish. I think we've made that argument very strongly on this edition of the program. Please, friends, get a vision. I would encourage you to grab a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, if you get a time to do that. Also, let's find ways to restructure. Let's find ways to strengthen marriage and strengthen the family unit by strengthening family-based education, not turning our children over to institutionalized systems, but by strengthening the family educational systems and the family economic-based systems such that we won't fragment our family institutionally, economically, and in terms of the way we do our business. Let's find ways to integrate family economies. These, I know, are radical concepts, but we've got to have radical concepts because the millennials are going to destroy marriage. That's the trend. That's what's happening right now. Sweden, Switzerland, other nations are ahead of us in these things. But we're not going to go there. We're going to do just the opposite. We're going to find ways to reintegrate family into church, reintegrate the family in education, reintegrate the family in economics. That's why the Family Economics Conference coming up in March, March 8th to 10th at Wheaton College, Chicago, Illinois. And again, that's next year, March 8th to 10th, Chicago, Illinois. More information, familyeconomics2012.com. Check it out right now. That's familyeconomics2012.com for more information on how we are going to radically reintegrate the family in economies in the years to come. Now, this is a growing movement. It's a new movement. We're expecting thousands and thousands of people at Wheaton College. We've had two conferences already. This thing's growing like crazy. We've got lots and lots, hundreds of ideas, if not thousands of ideas we're throwing around, ways which we can do this in the technologically based age where dads are coming home and we're finding ways to reintegrate the family into economics in the 21st century. No, we're not going to destroy the family. The millennials may do that, but not us, because we're not millennials. We're coming out from among them and being separate. We're not going to go the way of the macro. We're creating micros that are going to work and going to salvage civilization, social systems in the years to come. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to continue on these topics as the years go by. Are we pessimistic on the future? No, we're optimistic. Now, we are pessimistic for those who will not come out from among them and be separate. That's true. But we have an optimism because God is doing something with a remnant. And we got a wonderful, wonderful revival, reformation of the family going on right now. And we're excited about this. Dave, why don't you throw in a word for it? I mean, this has been a little bit of a negative program because we've looked at what Holland's doing, what America's doing, what is happening with marriage in America. But Dave, you know what? There is a positive end to this. We are going in a good direction, I think, in many different little areas here in America, but there tends to be small islands here and there.
Well, it does. It does. There are still people who have seen the antithesis. The antithesis has gotten noxious enough. People have gotten whiff and said, we don't want that.
Yeah.
And that has led many people to re-examine what the Word of God really does say and say, well, if the Word of God is sufficient that we can be equipped for every good work, let's look at what it says about education. Let's look at what it says about worship. Let's look what it says about law. Let's look what it says about family. And we are seeing movements all across the country of people who are educating their children at home, or basically discipling, training them in a biblical worldview where God is central and not men. We're seeing people who are taking their kids and putting them back into worship service. And we're seeing the worship service become less about entertainment, less about the people who are sitting in the pews, and more about the God who is and what he's done for the people sitting in the pews, and reaction to that rather than entertaining masses. We're seeing all kinds of positive things. We're seeing positive things in the film industry. We're seeing positive things in our homes, in the micro. So
I think there's a reformation afoot. I think God is doing something. Aslan is afoot. Aslan is on the move. Dave, there is a reformation going of some sort. Now, granted, it's on the macro level, evangelicalism is looking bad, really, really bad. But there are some islands, some positive things going on all over the place. And we cover those things on this radio program. We're constantly interviewing folks that are dealing with some of these aspects of reformation.
It really doesn't matter how much wood, hay, and stubble there is to determine how much silver, gold, and precious stones. The silver, gold, and precious stones, the amount of that is not determinant on how much wood, hay, and stubble is out there.
Yeah, and the wood, hay, and stubble goes up in the fire, and the fire is coming, and the fire is going to burn and burn and burn. That fire is going to burn. It's going to burn. But that's okay. We can handle it. Why? Because we're not in the business of creating wood, hay, and stubble. That's not, we're working on gold, silver, and precious stones here. And when the fire comes, and the fire is going to come to the Western world, no question about it, fire is going to come. When it burns, I think we're going to have some gold, silver, and precious stones in the years to come. And I'm excited about those years. Friends, continue to tune in to us, would you? And you're going to get some vision on this program that I think will be helpful for your families and your churches in the years to come. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.